evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, coming to you live from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan, Sudan and the rest of Africa this Thursday, November 21st, 2024. A former aid worker who was kidnapped in South Sudan's capital, Juba, was found dead.
What has he done that he deserves all this kind of treatment? We have never been given at least just to visit him or even to talk to him. And up to now, nobody's even telling us who killed him, despite all the security organs in the city.
And the commissioner of Akobo County accuses the national and state health ministries for not providing services.
So we will be waiting for CARE International to come to Akobo. Now when I contact CARE, they told me that they have not received the budget. When I talked to UNICEF, UNICEF told me that the budget was also delayed, and also there was a communication gap between UNICEF and National Minister of Health.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A former humanitarian worker who disappeared 3 weeks ago in Juba has been found dead. The family of the deceased, Muki Johnson, and human rights defenders are calling for an independent investigation into the death of Muki. For VOA News, Dennis Longonyi reports from Juba.
Muki Johnson's wife could not control her emotions. As she told VOA, she has no information about those who took the life of her husband.
My husband has been killed and his body has been found along Terekeka Road. I heard that he has been burnt inside the car. It's the security that called one of the uncles that there's a dead body. They burnt the car and threw his ID. I don't have many details. I became weak, but there are people who took the dead body to the mortuary.
Johnson's brother, who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution from the suspected killers, says the news of his brother's death shocked the entire family.
The body was found on Juba Terekeka Road, and then when we went to identify, the vehicle was next to him and his IDs were thrown next to him. The truth must be said. What has he done that he deserves all this kind of treatment? We have never been given at least just to visit him or even to talk to him, and up to now nobody's even telling us who killed him, despite all the security organs in the city. Nobody's telling us what happened. At least we will have heard something from either the security organs and say this is what happened to him. Either he died in the prison or he died of sickness, but he has to find a dead body lying on the street.
Omara Joseph works for the non-profit Human Rights Defenders Network. He says Johnson's death should be investigated immediately.
This is an act of extrajudicial killing, which is a crime. We cannot continue to abduct and kidnap people. If you know that this person has committed a crime, it must be taken to a court of law. We have courts in this country. We have institutions that are supposed to look after this matter. If you know that this person committed a crime, why don't you hand over to the police? It is really unbecoming. And we charge the government that government should also investigate this.
Joseph says if security officials killed Johnson, they too should be investigated. Several calls to the police spokesperson for a comment on the matter went unanswered. The South Sudan Police Service had installed CCTV cameras across Juba City to fight crime. Baboya James, an independent policy analyst, says the government must do more to protect South Sudanese across the country.
It is not really very interesting to see that such a very young, energetic, charismatic and intelligent human resource can be lost like that. As South Sudanese, we should take the death of Muki as an opportunity to begin to strengthen the security system in South Sudan, to begin to provide safety and protection to many people in this country, because it's peace that people are yearning for. It's peace that people want to have it as a commodity for economic, social development.
Johnson, who is in his 40s, was picked up by unknown individuals last month. His body was found along the Juba Terekeka Road on Wednesday. According to the family, results from the mortuary indicates that his right hand was electrocuted and his leg was broken. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Longonyi reporting from Juba.
From Juba, we move to Jonglei State, where the commissioner of Akobo County is accusing the national and state ministries of health for their conditions at the county hospital. Protesters in Akobo took to the streets Wednesday, calling on the United Nations and the government of South Sudan to rescue thousands of families trapped in Jonglei State without services. For VOA News, Mamer Abraham Kwart reports from Malakal.
Some Akobo town residents took to the streets on Wednesday in what appeared to be a state-managed protest against what residents call a lack of services in the county. Pok Nyang, Akobo County's new commissioner, says poor services at the county hospital are compounded by inadequate funding.
Care International was selected in August as an implementing partner that will take Obo after ICRC left. Now when ICRC left in September 1st, Care International did not show up. They went for assessment with a staff from the National Minister of Health, which was done successfully. So we will be waiting for Care International to come to Kobo. Now when I contact Care, they told me that they have not received the budget. When I talked to UNICEF, UNICEF told me that the budget was also delayed, and also there was a communication gap between UNICEF and National Minister of Health. That is what caused the demonstration yesterday.
The commissioner says the national and Jonglei state ministries of health are responsible for the dire health conditions in Akobo.
The blame should be given to the Minister of Health and then the State Minister of Health. Nobody else. Because if they are the ones supposed to direct UNICEF to give the budget to Care, why didn't they give the budget to the Care International for the last 3 months or 4 months? I know that there were a lot of players, because when I went in September, I met the Minister of Health. He was blaming me that there is a politics being played by me and the National Minister of Water and Irrigation. He failed to produce the evidence.
VOA requested an interview opportunity with the National Minister of Health on Wednesday, but she did not take the call. Instead, Yolanda Awell shared a press statement from the ministry on the situation in Akobo. The minister accuses county authorities of rejecting Save the Children International, therefore delaying service delivery at Akobo Teaching Hospital. Sam Kong is a resident of Akobo and a journalist. He says the national government should intervene and work with local and international nonprofits to provide services in Akobo.
They say the central government has the power to bring any other organization if they chase away ICRC. Because ICRC was chased away through policy by the national government. Including me as a journalist, I feel okay when I feel sick. I do go to ICRC hospital. The services are okay. Although they were more on wounded people, not just sickness.
Char, Akobo County Health Director, says Akobo Hospital provides services for patients from remote parts of the county.
So Akobo Hospital is treating over 200,000 patients. We have a neighbors from Ethiopia side. They also get service from our main Akobo Hospital. And also we have a neighbors from Upper Nile State, which is Wanding, Mandang, Nasir. All these people are coming here to the Akobo Hospital because it's a secondary level. The fuel, it becomes a problem because the barrel of fuel is $700 at the market. When the authority, together with the CAD, try also to manage one barrel of the fuels, within 24 hours, that fuel will finish. They have no any space to off the generator because if there's a pressure under oxygen consideration, they will not be left out.
The National Ministry of Health says it will hold meetings with the World Bank Group, Care International and UNICEF next week. The ministry pledges to deliver services to people in South Sudan, including residents of Akobo County. For VOA News, I am Amir Abraham Kwad, reporting from Upper Nile State's capital, Malakal.
Still on the situation in Akobo, the State Minister of Health in Jonglei State, Lual Monyluak, is warning the Commissioner of Akobo to stop inciting residents to protest against the national and state ministries of health. Monyluak says the County Commissioner of Akobo is behind Wednesday's protest.
Akobo Hospital is one of the county hospital in Jonglei State under World Bank project. Before, Akobo was under ICRC. In August, ICRC left the facility in June, but due to the process of handing over, they delay. And Akobo Hospital was under the Lot 7B. Lot 7B in full is allotted by the Save the Children, who won the lot. And later on, the same commissioner, they reject the health team from the National Ministry and our staff to assess the facility in June.
Why would the commissioner reject a team that is coming to assess the facility or the hospital in a bid to improve services? Does he have powers to reject assessment teams?
He is the one to explain that person, because what we know, the facilities in county, they are under CAD.
What is CAD for the benefit of those who have not known the jargons?
CAD is a county health director in the county who is responsible for health procedures, and he is the stakeholder that represents the Ministry of Health in county level. But because the authority of the county is above everything, they went and made a decision. He is the one who bring in the chiefs, his commissioner. And the chief wrote a letter on behalf of him, rejecting the serve the children not to take over the facility. We did not leave that one. When they say the serve the children will not run the hospital, we say, okay, let us look for another IP to come in. And later on, we and the National Ministry of Health went and select another IP, which is CARE International, who went there recently, before 2 months, make assessment. They went and make assessment, and the CARE came back with its report and with also the team of the state and the national ministry. Now, CARE International is preparing his work, so that they can go to Akobo and take over the Akobo hospital. That is what we did. But for his side, because of what he did in June, that is why again they went to protest against the Ministry of Health, that the Ministry of Health is not bringing the services to the community. But we were about to do that, but they reject the team. Because this one cannot finish in one day. The handover from the facility, from IP to another IP. Because the Akobo Hospital is a very big hospital. You cannot just go and enter to the facility where you don't know the cost of the what will happen in the human resource, other activities that were run by the ICRC. So the issue is not the ministry in Bor or not the ministry in Juba. Let them be patient, wait us. The IP is coming to Akobo, to take over.
You're talking about CARE International getting into Akobo to take over services at the hospital. Could you take us back a little bit and explain why ICRC left Akobo?
According to the their letter, the ICRC, they say they were there during the crisis. And now there is no crisis in Akobo, so that they can go to see another people who are more suffering than people of Akobo. And that is why they left, they closed their activities in Akobo.
What are the guarantees that the commissioner on the ground, whom you are saying that he is inciting chiefs, what are guarantees that he will not incite the chiefs and protest against CARE International? It looks like the commissioner is the kingmaker in Akobo.
Now, from now onward, we will not listen to them, because last time, they were saying serve the children cannot be able to run the hospital from their side. But from our side, we were saying let the serve the children take over, but they insist. And we that one. Now, between the community and the commissioner, we will, if the commissioner is the one, because last time he was behind this. But this time, it become clear it is the one, because the protests were organized in the office of commissioner, and every citizen of Akobo have to know this. They have to know this, because him alone cannot risk the life of the people of Akobo, because population of Akobo and the distance where Akobo is cannot be taken by guarantee like this. We cannot accept that one, and we are working. Preparing these procedures from CARE, and when we finish, CARE will go. The government in the state, we will go to Akobo to see the handover of the hospital.
That's Jonglei State Minister Lual Mony Luak. He spoke with me via WhatsApp from Bor earlier today. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the International Criminal Court has issued a warrant of arrest on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Find out more after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The International Criminal Court today issued arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, as well as for the Hamas leader Ibrahim al-Masri for alleged crimes against humanity and war crimes. South Africa has been a major voice calling for action against Netanyahu, in particular for Israel's conduct in its war against the Hamas in Gaza. Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
In a ruling Thursday, the International Criminal Court said there were reasonable grounds to believe that Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant bear criminal responsibility for the war crime of starvation. It said there were also reasonable grounds to believe they had intentionally and knowingly deprived Gaza civilians of food, water, medicine, medical supplies and fuel and electricity. It also said that Hamas leader Ibrahim al-Masri, commonly known as Mohammed Deif, is responsible for crimes against humanity for the Hamas attack in Israel on October 7, 2023, which led to the conflict in Gaza. The court's arrest warrants mean the ICC's 124 member states would be obliged to arrest the three men if they enter their territory. Almost a year ago, South Africa filed a case against Israel in the ICC. South African law professor Thembisa Fakude describes the move on Thursday as significant.
Important is going to be the first of its kind that you're going to have the Prime Minister of Israel facing criminal charges at the ICC. So it's a big deal for international law, it's a big deal for the Palestinian cause. But I doubt if Benjamin Netanyahu is going to take it seriously. He's likely to rip off this as he's done with all other injunctions in the past, including several by the United Nations Security Council and United Nations General Assembly.
The Israeli Prime Minister immediately denounced the warrant against him and Gallant as anti-Semitic. Hamas said the warrants should be expanded to all Israeli leaders. U.S. President Joe Biden has previously criticized the ICC prosecutor and supported Israel's right to defend itself against Hamas. The October 2023 Hamas attack killed about 1,200 people in Israel. Militants took about 250 back to Gaza as hostages. Gaza's health ministry says at least 45,000 people in the territory have died since Israel began its assault. The United Nations and aid organizations say much of the territory's population has been displaced and thousands face severe hunger and disease outbreaks because Israel has sharply curtailed shipments of food, medicines, and other goods into Gaza. In a voice recording released to media, spokesperson for the South African President's Office, Vincent Magwenya, welcomed the ICC's actions.
South Africa is committed to the international rule of law, universal respect for human rights, and the settlement of all international disputes by negotiation and not war, and the self-determination of all peoples, including the Palestinians. We have also consistently held that all participants to the conflict must ensure that fighting and hostilities come to an immediate end that all hostages must be released immediately and that Israel withdraws its military forces from Gaza. This is the only way in which the rights of the Palestinian civilian population can be protected and the basis for sustainable peace can be achieved.
Fakhouda says the arrest warrants will likely complicate efforts to negotiate a ceasefire to end the 13-month conflict. He adds it's unlikely any of the suspects will be facing up to the charges at the ICC anytime soon, as the court itself does not have the means to enforce warrants, instead relying on cooperation from its member states. Neither the United States nor Israel are members of the ICC. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
From Johannesburg, we move to the United States, where U.S. President-elect Donald Trump says on his Truth Social account that his pick for border czar will be in charge of all deportations of illegal aliens back to their countries of origin. VOA's Veronica Villafani reports on Trump's pick. Tom Homan.
Donald Trump's choice for border czar has worked for more than 30 years in federal immigration control. Tom Homan told this year's Republican National Convention that every president has said he would secure the border, but only Trump did it.
He created the most secure border in our history, and that's a stone cold fact. The data proves it. And guess what? He's going to do it again.
On the campaign trail, Trump promised mass deportations of undocumented immigrants.
Immediately upon taking the oath of office, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history.
Though experts note that migration and crime rates are not linked, Homan says deportations will fix what he calls the immigration mistakes of Joe Biden's presidency.
President Trump is going to end the Biden-Harris open border madness. We will stop the drugs and the crime from pouring into your neighborhoods.
Homan was acting director of Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the first Trump administration, where he led a 40% increase in deportation arrests.
Overall removals are down because the border is under better control than it has been in 45 years.
Illegal immigration was a major issue for many voters in this year's election. Political analyst Francisco Rodriguez says Homan has a zero-tolerance approach.
So if you are a criminal here and have a child or family here, Homan has stated that you can live with your children, with your spouse. No one is saying the family will be separated.
Former Florida state legislator Daisy Baez says Trump's intention to nominate Homan is a warning for the immigrant community.
If you're not a citizen or a permanent resident, you have no guarantee of staying in this country. It's very likely you'll be on the list of those eligible for deportation.
I got a message to the millions of illegal aliens that Joe Biden's released in our country in violation of federal law. You better start packing now.
Homan is a former New York police officer who contributed to Project 2025, a set of policy proposals published by the conservative Heritage Foundation research group to, quote, rescue the country from the grip of the radical left. Veronica Villafañe for VOA News.
From U.S., we move to Kenya, where farmers in Kenya are using artificial intelligence to help them get better crop yields. An AI-powered tool called Virtual Agronomist engages directly with farmers to help them create tailored plans to optimize the quality and quantity of their crops. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Miwa, Kenya.
Henry Kichobi is using a tool powered by artificial intelligence to assess the soil fertility on his farm in Mwea, Kenya. The AI app called Virtual Agronomist uses a chatbot to communicate directly with small-scale farmers through WhatsApp. Using satellite information, the tool gathers and analyzes data to help Kichobi learn the right type and amount of fertilizers and chemicals needed to maximize his crop yields.
For this technology, it has helped me to know the type of nutrients in the soil, and also it has helped me to know the type of fertilizer to apply in there. Soil. Okay, before this technology, I was harvesting less than 20 bags, but after applying this technology, It has helped me to harvest 26 bags and above.
Joby uploads photos of his farm. In return, Virtual Agronomy sends back satellite images of his land and recommendations on how to get the biggest and highest quality crop yields. And at a time when farmers face changing weather patterns and the impact of climate change, the app also offers advice on the best type and amount of chemicals to combat pests and disease on the farmers' plots. Nicholas Kinyua, also a farmer, says the AI tool also helped him increase his rice harvest from 20 to 26 bags this season. He says, I was applying a lot of chemicals on my farm, and now I am using less money compared to when I was planting using traditional methods. This technology, he says, has helped me to harvest more food. Judy Kaguya says she saved money using the virtual agronomist and expects a larger rice yield when she's done harvesting in coming weeks. Kaguya says she believes she will harvest much more food compared to before. She says, I used too much fertilizer in the past, which cost me a lot and left me unhappy. But now, she says, I feel so happy visiting my farm. I even enjoy spending time here, just admiring my produce. The Innovative Solutions for Decision Agriculture, or ISDA, helps train farmers how to use the app. The organization says over 30,000 farmers in Africa, half of them in Kenya, are using the virtual agronomist. Officials say the tool has soil data for the entire continent and helps farmers plant and manage crops such as maize, coffee and tea. Patrick Wanyaka is with Innovative Solutions for Decision Agriculture in Kenya.
The system wants to know what the best farmer is doing so that the farmer is given a recommendation to at least bring the farmer to the best farmer. We want to bridge the gap, because if they are coming from the same locality and the best farmer is doing 30 bags, let's say, and the farmer is doing 20, we want to give the farmer a recommendation that can bring the farmer almost to the best farmer.
Wanyaka says it will take some time to convince many farmers that more fertilizer and chemicals does not necessarily mean they will yield more and better crops. Mohammed Yusuf, VOA News, Mwea, Kenya.
That's all from us this Thursday, November 21st, 2024. We now leave you with Simon Kero, who is a farmer and is talking about Bambema Kaimut, which means sweet potatoes, and what? And granite paste goes very well when you drink water on top of it. And he's warning you that if it's raining, stop creating domestic violence. Zamani motoro zede matoturu dumara Zamani matara zede matoturu dumara Bambe mokaimo moya hilo wasaki Bambe mokaimo moya hilo wasaki Washini dunga mayan me pare Washini dunga mayan me pare Aparo e me ajiro chini kusende una kwalio
We have been listening to Simon Kero singing in his native Zande language and some Arabic, and he's talking about the situation in Western Equatoria when it's raining. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a very lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Ya baiguli chugwa je washini dunga mayane.